Good morning. I'm Michelle Baskett, and I'm with the National Center for Immunization and Respiratory Diseases in the Office of Communication, and I'm a health communication specialist there, and I am so very pleased to be moderating this session today on the National Immunization Week, a strategy to strengthen and build your immunization program. And we've got a really wonderful panel for you today. And I want to talk a little bit about National Infant Immunization Week. As many of you know, National Infant Immunization Week actually kicks off this Saturday, and it runs from April 24th to May 1st. It'll be our 16th national observance. And the primary focus of National Infant Immunization Week is for our nation to focus on the importance of immunizing children before the age of two. And it's grown since its inception. I'm very pleased to let you all know that this year will be also the last week in April is usually National Infant Immunization Week. And along the way, we've partnered with a variety of organizations that have learned about this week and have also wanted to join in. And they are focusing on the last week in April as well to promote infant immunization and other immunizations too. And those organizations would be PAHO, the Pan-American Health Organization. So we'll be working in conjunction with them to support their Vaccination Week in the Americas. Recently, about 5 years ago, the European region of WHO joined in, and they have the week, and they're also running it concurrently the end of April. And then finally, it's exciting this year that the EMRO, Eastern Mediterranean region of WHO, joined in this year, and they have 22 countries, and all 22 countries have committed to do and to promote immunization during the last week in April. So we've kind of, this observance has really grown into a global observance, which is really quite exciting. Wanted to also mention that while this is a national observance and it's supported by the CDC, the real emphasis is on local. So it's locally driven with state and local health departments, immunization coalitions, and our immunization partners really taking the lead and working on activities that will strengthen and build their local and state programs year-round, but they use this week not as an add-on, but in addition to the work that they do throughout the year to promote infant immunization. And I was talking with my colleague and partner at National Infant Immunization Week, Vicki Evans, who I'm sure many of you know. And we were talking about, really over the 16 years, and Vicki actually has been involved in 15 of those 16 years, so she's really our historical expert in NIIW. And she, was commenting on just really the hallmarks of this program. And part of the hallmarks are it's really an opportunity to strengthen and encourage partnerships, as well as an opportunity to engage the media and localize the immunization message, to educate parents, caregivers, providers, and the general public about the importance of getting immunization and making sure that immunization is available to children before the age of two and making sure they're on time with their immunizations. And also recognizing immunization champions. Many of you and all of us in this room actually work 365 days a year on immunization, whether we're actually delivering it, promoting it, encouraging it. But this really is our time, during the year to recognize those folks that work so hard and diligently throughout the whole year in delivering immunizations. The other thing that is really amazing to us is that every observance in each state and local area really have very unique ways of celebrating National Infant Immunization Week, and that's what really excites me. A lot of state and local programs take a look at what their immunization challenges are and what their successes are, and they actually plan to address some of their challenges, whether it's pockets of need communities, or, really take a look at their successes and, celebrate immunization champions that make those successes possible throughout the whole year. Today, we have the great good fortune to have a really wonderful panel that actually covers Connecticut to Washington State and Nevada in between. So we're very pleased. It also is made up of communications director for on a state level, as well as the state level social media and promotions director, a state immunization program manager, and a regional coalition executive director. So I want to tell you a little bit about these folks, and then we're just going to actually, you know, roll into their presentations, and then we'll take questions at the end. So our first presenters are going to share with you the Washington State experience, and we're very pleased to have Michelle Roberts here, and she's worked for 5.5 years in the immunization program Child Profile at the Washington State Department of Health, and she's the manager for the Health Promotion and Communication Team. Michelle works on media relations activities, health education materials, immunization promotion campaigns, and she manages the state's immunization registry, which is a health promotion system that sends 1.3 million immunization reminders to 440,000 families with young children. And before coming to Washington, Michelle actually completed a 2-year fellowship at CDC in program evaluation, and she also has expertise in program evaluation, health promotion, and communication best practice theory, as well as risk communication and program management. So very pleased to have Michelle here. She will also, Tim Church will kind of complete the Washington experience as well, and he's the Director of Communication for the Washington State Department of Health, as well as a recent past president of NPHIC, which is the National Public Health Information Coalition. He oversees Washington's Department of Communication, including media relations, risk communication, employee communications, publication, and web content. He has extensive background in communication. He graduated from Washington State University School of Communication with a degree in broadcast journalism and worked in TV news for almost 15 years. He's been a news writer, an on-air reporter, a producer, and a managing editor. And he also serves as the public information officer for the Washington State Senate. Tim holds a belief similar to mine that all communication should be clear, easy to understand, and avoid acronyms and government speak. I think we all can appreciate that. He also works for the Boys and Girls Club and he also volunteers for the Boys and Girls Club and the YMCA. Vinny Sacco has worked for the Connecticut Department of Health for 28 years. During that time, he's been in both the immunization program and the AIDS program. Currently, for the past 17 years, he's been serving as the immunization program manager for the Connecticut Department of Health. And then Pam Beal is the executive director of the Southern Nevada Immunization Coalition. And she started that position in April of 2007 and has led SNCC through unprecedented growth and development in terms of leadership, general membership, and securing funding. She's done extensive work in collaborating with providers and organizations and businesses to increase access to immunization and improve overall child immunization in Southern Nevada. For 15 years, she's been leading and managing community health projects to promote access to primary health for the uninsured or underinsured in Louisiana and Texas. And Pam completed a New Mexico Governor's Fellowship under the administration of the former governor, Bruce, in Santa Fe, and a faculty fellowship for the Foundation of Mid-South in Jackson, Mississippi. And she has degrees in accounting and business. And we're going to welcome Michelle and Tim up first to talk about the Washington experience.
Thanks, Michelle, and good morning, everybody. We're really happy to be here today to talk about our National Infant Immunization Week events that we did in Washington. And I'll start off by saying we had some tremendous success that we'll be explaining to you, and they were really great events. There were also a lot of work and a lot of staff time, but I'm really proud of what we did. And I think it's really made a lot over the last couple years, helped develop our program to where we are today, and I'll be talking about some of that. So kind of some specifics on what we did in Washington, and I'm really going to be talking about events we did in 2008 and 2009, so the last 2 years. We had large multi-day events both years. You'll see the list of types of activities we did during those 2 years. And I'll say right off the bat that one of the drivers was we had fantastic CDC speakers and guests with us. In 2008, we were a kickoff site for CDC, so we did have Dr. Ann Schuchat with us out there. And in 2009, kind of in follow-up to that, we dove into some areas that were challenges for us, both around provider and parent hesitancy, and had Dr. Chris Sheedy there with us, and more just provider training, and Dr. Lance Rodewald was there with us too in 2009. One of the things I really want to stress is plan smart. Use your time and energy really wisely going into these events, because they are a lot of staff work. And don't go into it if you're not ready to commit the staff time, because if you don't, you're going to have an event that doesn't have, it's kind of lackluster and it's not going to get your attendance. But I think one of the things we did is we did use the CDC planning worksheets. I told Michelle I would plug them, but they're actually really helpful to use your time really wisely as you plan. So I would encourage you, if you're thinking about doing an event, go on to their website and look at all the different resources they have. One of the things we spend a lot of time, and the worksheets will help you do, is really figuring out the context of what's going on in your state. And thinking about, Michelle mentioned it, what some of your successes are and where your challenges are, because you're going to want to draw on both of those to figure out where you want to have your events, what your messages are, and what type of activities are best for your state. And another thing I would really stress is don't go it alone. Use your partners. This, and I think you'll probably hear it from all of us today, but we could have never done this if we hadn't from the beginning looked to who are our regular community partners, ask them to come to the table, and ask them to plan some of these events. So we used the American Academy, our chapter of the American Academy of Pediatrics, our state immunization coalition, our local immunization coalitions, because a few cities and areas have local coalitions as well. We used our chapter of the of the Academy of Family Physicians. We used some of local nonprofits in our state that are focused on child health or general health improvement, and brought everybody to the table and kind of brainstormed different things we could do together, and then asked if there was an activity they would like to do and take the lead on. And that was really successful for us. They did our state coalition and the local coalitions planned some community events, and they took the lead on that, so we played more of a technical assistance role. Both of the medical association planned grand round type of events, and then I planned a pediatric resident dinner. And once again, we just had to take kind of the back seat, and they did a lot of that. And not only did they do the planning, but they put resources behind it. So they paid for rooms and for food and some stuff like that that really helped stretch tight budgets as far as they could go. I will think one other thing too is spread the word at every opportunity. To get good attendance at these events, you want to be out there, you know, in your newsletters every time anybody from your staff is at the community, having your local partner spread the word. I think I was talking about it so much leading up the first year and talking about NIIW. I was actually pregnant at the time, and everybody started calling it Michelle's Infant Immunization Week, because they were so sick of me talking about NIIW. But it does pay off that we did get great attendance. I'd say, too, don't reinvent the wheel. We wanted to do public service announcements during the week and knew we didn't have time to do anything new and different with everything else going on. So we just reran some PSAs we had ran the year before, and also used some of the CDC PSAs, and added a Washington tagline at the end to the PSAs. Don't forget about evaluation. We used a lot of just making sure people filled out evaluation forms at the end, which really helped not only figure out what we need to do for next year's activities, but also identify other things we could be doing as a program to make sure we're meeting the needs of our community partners. And the other thing, I skipped the bullet, but looking for outside funding. I would really encourage you beyond. I mean, we started planning this. We're a state immunization program, started planning in January and February for our April events. And for those of you guys who are state programs, you know that's well past when we're doing our CDC grant planning, our yearly budget planning, which happens the summer before. So we had to be really creative to look for funding. Like I said, we got partners to look for funding. And one great funding source I'd encourage you to look into is the Maternal and Child Health Block Grant Funds. And we're unique from a lot of immunization programs. Actually, at our state health department, we sit within inside our MCH program. But even if you don't sit inside your MCH program, the MCH Block Grant Funds, there's an immunization is one of their main, one of their focus areas, and they have technical assistance funds that you can use for travel and speakers and some other stuff. So I'd encourage you to look into that. A couple of things, some of these I've hit on already, but just wanted to stress a few lessons learned about the big picture before I hand it off to Tim, who will talk about media. But start early and figure out your budget. We just talked about that. Use your partners. Schedule your state leadership early. We were able to get our Secretary of Health and our state health officer involved in these events, but I don't think we would have. Before we even knew what they were, we put a request to kind of hold time on their calendars. Tim will talk a lot about the next area, but go where you can get the most mileage. So in our state, our main media market is the Seattle area, which hits most of the big cities on the west side of our state. And we did do an event there, but we also went to our eastern side of the state. We wanted to make sure they were included, but you'll see for some things we were really strategic. That's where we did our media relations activities and did our press conference. And I think it's just you've got to know what you're up against. Don't aim for the highest media market and hope that there's not a crash or something else going on that day that's going to take away from your event. And it's also nice to, we were also really strategic about going where we knew we had community partners who'd be ready to jump in and plan something for us. Don't overschedule, allow for some downtime, and that kind of fits in with understand legislative conflicts. We tried to pull off a legislative event the first year that had a great community partnership feel, but we ended up with a couple legislative staff, but only one legislature, Slater there, which was good. We were targeting him somewhat because he's one of our most vocal anti-immunization legislators, so there was some strategicness about that, but I think it was a lot of effort and might not have been the best use of our time. And the last thing, play for travel for locals. I don't know if it's like this in your state. I'm assuming it probably is, but getting locals to have money for travel is a real challenge, so it's good to, if you can pay for them, and we did use the MCH block grant funds to do that. So with that, I'm going to head, and here's just once again some of the final points of the bang for the buck. Well-attended events. Really, both years, these events have reinvigorated our stakeholders. I think over the last few years, just it's tiring and challenging in the work we do. And I think we all know we get really worn out sometimes, and we get these big challenges thrown at us like H1N1 and some other things, and we need a time to step back and reflect and remember why we do this and what's important about us. And we heard from all of our partners and our community leaders that that's exactly what they got, and it helped them feel excited and ready to go back in and jump headfirst into the challenges. It really, truly strengthened our partnerships doing these activities the last few years. And one of the things that happened in Washington, I think it got us in a position to be ready to really tackle some big problems, including saving our universal system, which was scheduled to end May 1st of this year. And for our state, even though you might know, our birth cohort's fairly big, and so that the state contribution to our universal system is $37 million a year, and we just save that through the work of our partners out there advocating, forming a coalition, figuring out how to solve that budget problem. And it wouldn't have happened if we did not do these relationships over the last few years and making people see what the benefit is. So that's just one thing, an example of the type of payoff you can get from investing time in IIW. And with that, I'm going to hand it over to Tim, who's going to talk about the media work we did.
Thanks, Michelle. I have a question before I get into my PowerPoint slides. You know, today is April 20th. Does anybody have any idea what else today is besides April 20th?
The 1-year anniversary of H1N1.
No, that's true. H1N1, that's a good answer. But it's a special day or a noted day that people celebrate. No idea?
Well, that.
Yeah, I have a son in college, that's true. Well, I have a couple examples of things that are going on this month and then what today is. It's Fresh Florida Tomatoes Month. It's Foot Health Month. I'm not sure, but I was hoping the CDC would be doing some foot massages later. I was going to ask them about that. It's Pet First Aid Awareness Month, so if you need to practice CPR on your dog, maybe later. And Saturday is World Penguin Day. I really can't say anything about that. I just know it's World Penguin Day. Last Saturday was Husband Appreciation Day, and when I found this out, I called my wife yesterday and told her I didn't get a card, and I was concerned about that. And as Michelle said, I have a son in college, and he made me aware that today is actually Pot Smokers Day. So I didn't know that, and he was like, Dad, everybody knows it's Pot Smokers Day. I tell you that stuff for a reason. It's because almost every day on the calendar is something, and almost every week is something, and almost every month is something. So as a former television news person, being a day, week, or month was not enough to make something interesting and newsworthy. We generally, in my agency, do not do events purely because it's a day, week, or month. That's not to say that they're not good timing to do events. So I guess what I'd like to talk about is the things you can do to make National Infant Immunization Week important and interesting enough so news media will cover it. It took a lot of work, but we were really happy with the results we had. This first slide just lists what some of our goals were. We wanted to use earned media, and essentially that means you work hard to get news coverage as opposed to commercials. We had a pretty broad strategy involving media. We decided pretty early on that we wanted to do more than a news release. We had Dr. Ann Shuka come into town. If any of you have met her or heard her speak, she's fabulous and educated and very good on her feet. We wanted to take advantage of that. We wanted to do editorial boards, sit down with the thought leaders of these newspapers and talk to them about this issue. And we wanted to do a news conference and get the word out that way as well. As Michelle said, one of the early decisions we made was to not do our news conference in Seattle, which was almost counterintuitive. Seattle is a big media market. There are important people coming through Seattle every day. When the Secretary of Health goes to Seattle, as much as I'd love to say she's the most important person there, it's not news. When the CDC comes to Seattle, it's not news. But when the Secretary of Health and the CDC hold a news conference in Spokane, a smaller market with lots of television and radio and newspaper, it is news. So we took advantage of that, and it worked out pretty well for us. The other thing I'd just point out on this slide, as Michelle said, you know, this took time and effort. We started early and worked hard. That's why they call it earned media, but we were thrilled with the results. Here's a couple pictures from the media event we held. You can see, the reason for showing you this is simple. When we hold a media event, we want to make sure we essentially hand the story to the news reporters. We don't just give them data. We don't just give them a news release. We don't just give them a person to interview. We give them video. We gave them parents. We gave them a clinic to get video of kids getting shot. We gave them a doctor. It was a complete package. The doctor, which is this guy right here who ran the clinic, he was fantastic. He called some parents ahead of time, so we knew who was coming into the clinic around the time that we were holding our media event. And we knew that they would have positive things to say about getting their kids immunized. If there were parents who did not want to talk about getting their kids immunized or had other feelings, we made sure they weren't the ones we were presenting to parents. We wanted to cover to the media. We wanted to cover all our bases. And of course, reporters like babies. So there's the little child who was there getting immunized. We tried to give her a couple of messages, but she wasn't up for that. And then you have Dr. Ann Shuket, Mary Selecki, our Secretary of Health. We literally held the media event in the lobby, and that's what this is. You can see the television cameras. So we invited the media there. We had very short presentations in the lobby. We gave them one-on-one interviews. We let them talk to parents, and we basically opened the clinic up to them. And we were thrilled with the results. Couple other things I think I would make the point on this one is, leave nothing to chance. We gave them the story. We set up all the pieces for them. They didn't have to go anywhere else to tell this story except this one stop. And I think that was why we got them and got the stories we wanted to get. Here's an example of some of the results. Look at some of these headlines. State aims to boost childhood immunization rates. Progress on vaccinations, but still below average. And I was fine with that headline. The two in the middle, love, protect, and immunize your kids. Vaccination works. If you could read these articles, one of the things you would see is these are not articles that say it's National Infant Immunization Week. Our goal was not to promote National Infant Immunization Week. Our goal was to promote getting kids vaccinated. An important thing to talk about on this slide was, our rates in Washington are not as good as they could be. We're in the typically in the lower third, but we were not afraid of that. We actually used that to our advantage. There was a outbreak of whooping cough in Spokane within about a month of when we held our news event. That was one of the reasons we didn't go to, we went to Spokane. We were not afraid of that. We actually took advantage of that because the media had immunizations and outbreaks on their mind. They knew it was an issue. So we knew we had a ripe area to get news coverage. So one of my most important messages I would leave you with is you don't have to be the best state in the country as far as immunization to hold a media event. Actually, you're probably kind of boring if you're among the best states in the country. It's a lot more interesting if you have challenges. We had challenges, we laid them out there, and the media just grabbed them and ran with them. We were ready to address those challenges, and so as scary as it is to open up your door and say, here's all our stuff that's not as good as we'd like it to, we did it, and I'm confident we got news, good coverage because of it. You cannot pay enough money to get an editorial in a newspaper. The Seattle Times is read by a lot of people. And to get an editorial that says, love, protect, and immunize your kids, we could not have written that any better than they did. As a matter of fact, it would have probably taken us 16 meetings, and we would have had to debate over the language and all of that. So, or even very simply, vaccinations work. Those were our messages, and we were really pleased we got them out through this. It really is coverage money can't buy, but this is an example. If we had tried to buy just the space and the news time, it would have cost us somewhere in the neighborhood of $30,000 to buy the space and the news time. But the big difference in this is, while I'm a big supporter of PSAs and paid advertising, people see what they read in the newspaper, what they read in the editorial page especially, and what they see on the television news as the most credible source. You can say the exact same thing in a PSA as they do in the newspaper, and people will believe the newspaper and give it much more credibility than they do if you do it in a PSA. Don't hear me say negative things about PSA, but if I've got my choice and I can get a front page or an editorial, that's where you get your credibility and your bang for your buck. A couple quick lessons learned. I talked about this a little bit. A CDC person coming to town, your Secretary of Health, important to us, not important enough to get news coverage. You need a good hook. Don't be afraid to talk about the bad stuff. Choose your media market wisely, and that's not always the biggest place with the most media. In our situation, we did the event in Seattle, or in Spokane. We put out the news release statewide, and the Spokane coverage actually led to Seattle area coverage because it went to Associated Press, so it had this kind of backfill that if we would have went to Seattle, we probably wouldn't have got the coverage, but we ended up getting it statewide because the Spokane media picked it up and it went to others. Don't be afraid to talk about the bad news, and remember, this does take a fair share of time. It's not something that you just walk into and do. A quick point I want to point out, the last bullet on this, establish your agency as the credible source. We do a lot of work with media. We've done a lot of work before this. We do a lot of work after this. But one of the keys to establishing yourself as a credible source is media will come to you over and over and over again. We all know there's lots of people out there who have lots of things to say about immunization right now. Twitter sites, blogs, Facebook sites, people on YouTube, etc. If you establish yourself as the place to go, the place where media can come and say, is this true? Give me the facts. I want to know what's true as I report this story. You know, that's almost worth more than the one headline you get or the news story you get, because every time they come to you and ask you that, you can influence their news coverage. And even if your name doesn't appear in that story, if you can shoot down the rumors, if you can give them the facts, establishing yourself as that credible source will just pay off over and over and over again. I'm going to try to show a video here, and we're going to see if this works. This is a video of one of the television news stations coverage we got. Come on.
HQ TV, home of the...
I'm going to try that one more time, and if it doesn't work, we're just going to scrap it.
HQ TV, home of the 2008 Olympic Games.
Right now, Dan Kleckner and Stephanie Vigil. This is KHQ Local News at 5.
State health officials made an appearance in Spokane today to raise awareness on child immunizations. The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention presented the Washington State Secretary of Health with a plaque for most improved immunization rates, which are up 15% from 2003. But as KHQ Local News reporter Jennifer Kim found, they say their work is not done.
Good evening, Dan. Well, we're having a few problems getting a live signal up here right now, so which is why I'm coming to you live via the phone, so we apologize for that. But, you know, just a couple of weeks ago, chickenpox affected 6 classes at Jefferson Elementary School, if you recall. That's about 150 students, and all those without proof of immunization were asked to stay home from school. That's exactly the kind of situation health officials are trying to avoid, which is why they say the work isn't done. Now, at the kids' clinic on the South Hill, the CDC recognized the state for their improvements, but also said Washington needs to keep up on those improvements, especially with examples like Spokane County's recent outbreak. Now, this is also National Infant Immunization Week, which highlights the importance of vaccinations and how they can protect our kids from a number of diseases.
Today's babies have a chance to be protected from 14 vaccine-preventable diseases by the age of 2. So they don't have to suffer from the kinds of diseases that a lot of us remember that affected our generation or the generations before.
I feel like I do my part to protect my kids. I think the biggest injustice is that their kids are going around unprotected with all the, you know, benefits of vaccines out there. It's unfortunate that some people opt out of providing their kids with that safety net.
The current immunization rate in Washington State is at 71%. Officials are hoping to get that number up to 80% by the year 2010. Dan, step back to you.
That piece is just a perfect example of what we are trying to accomplish. They mentioned National Infant Immunization Week, but the story was about kids getting immunized. And while Dr. Shook had a good soundbite, I'm telling you, having a mom holding a baby saying it's important to get your kids vaccinated, you can't buy that in a PSA. So thank you.